Curtis Sliwa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Anyway, what you gonna do about it? Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start. And I bet that you exploded in my heart. And I forget the Ruby song.
Are you kidding me? That's Romeo and Juliet originally by Dire Straits, but
that is a
cover from The Killers, and that is a fantastic song.
Let me ask you a question.
Have you listened? No. Have you listened to the whole thing?
Are
you just going to blather on about how much you hate it without listening to
anything? You can tell. You can tell from the first 30 seconds.
People, please support me on this one.
How many times did you walk down the aisle to this?
One, thank you very much. And I see you laughing in there, Justin.
This song is maybe the pits.
Okay.
God. And you chose that as a wedding song?
Yeah, I actually did. It's a beautiful song. And if you gave it a chance, like you give nothing chances anymore.
What
like your
that?
Beard, at
you,
least,
you know,
give not a chance.
You give a chance. You had a choice, a panoply of heavy metal.
I actually did have some heavy metal
songs
stuff
to play.
I did.
But you,
I did.
You chose that one. In fact, you could have chose this one here. See, you could have been, like a worldly servant moving down the aisle.
Where's my glasses?
Electronic dance music.
That over the Killers, Romeo and I'm done. I can't debate music with you anymore. It's just, it's too much of a joke.
For me, and I know a lot of millennials and hipsters, Juliet Huddy, who I hate, I loathe, I despise.
You know.
EDM, electronic dance music, is a natural mood elevator. You don't need to be dropping drugs.
Okay, first of all, that's not true because they're dropping drugs. They're dropping Molly or whatever it's called now. There's like another name for it, but
no,
yeah, that's
right.
The whole point.
Molly's
it's still
the
Molly.
Choice.
Okay, because I don't do that stuff.
Special K,
young Justin,
Molly,
so,
right.
Rolling.
Right.
Yeah, I don't do that, but most of the kids, they do that at these
no,
things.
No,
they tell
right.
you that they're not because
you're
they
right.
don't want to upset you.
You're right. You're absolutely right, but I'm just saying. It's totally different than that song you came in with.
You didn't even listen to the song.
You know,
that's the whole point. You don't listen to these things and you criticize them. You and I have very similar tastes when it comes to music in a lot of ways. I mean, actually, the EDM stuff, I don't hate. I don't hate it. But I think that you like Blackwater Rising.
Yes.
You like Stereo Mud. I mean,
yes.
You like these bands.
I have an eclectic
you
sort
do.
Of... style of music that
you
I like to listen
fast
to.
Fast moving, you like the groove to be like
I would
chuggy
say,
and
number one EDM, electronic
God,
dance music,
so
then R&B,
okay,
and then rap, depending on the style of rap.
That, oh, and
I would say that, and then heavy metal.
Really?
Yeah, heavy metal.
Wow,
absolutely.
Okay, I didn't realize you like rap. No, are
yeah,
you like a
then,
2 Chainz fan?
Naturally, my favorite song that you brought to the forefront, Juliet Huddy.
Yes, the amazing Stereo Mud. We're trying to get them back together. It's my husband's old band.
And you know what this reminds me of, Juliet? Since I'm going through withdrawal now, after having survived that 8-hour operation back on December 13th.
It is so good to see you back.
No more oxycodone, hillbilly heroin, no more morphine, no more fentanyl. I'm not even taking Tylenol or Advil, you know, just going cold turkey.
So what's your body going through right now? Give us a little synopsis.
Sore. It's very sore at times. It's almost like you've been hit by an 18-wheel tractor trailer.
Oh, that sounds fun.
And the soreness actually is in your back because when you have this kind of intense long-term stomach surgery, in my case, the removal of the chronic Crohn's disease, mm-hmm. you're thinking your back is what's going to support you. It's the back when you bend over, you mm-hmm. lift, you twist, you turn, yep. you do a chubby check here, twist and shout. And it's really your stomach muscles. And you begin to realize your back, your vertebrae, your lumbar, they are helpless without strong stomach muscles. And obviously, my muscles are still recuperating. But
well, that's the whole concept behind Pilates. You know, your core is yes. basically your stomach muscles. Once you start working on those, the rest of your body seems to just fall into place.
Pilates, are those sandwiches they serve in South America?
No. It's an exercise named after
because I'm still trying
Mr.
to find my
Steve
solar
Pilates.
Plexus. You know, where are my solar
I
plexus?
You're looking good, Curtis. I have to say, being in the studio with you and seeing the way you were prior to December 13th, you know, literally, it aged you. You look spry and young again.
Yeah, I was down to 150 pounds and wrestling with the Grim Reaper. And a lot of people were being kind to me instead of saying, wow, you look like you're gone. And that operation was so imperative for me to have because I had exhausted all other opportunities.
I know you had. Now, was Nurse Ratched there? I know you've probably spoken about this, but I haven't been with you since your surgery.
No, we had come to an agreement, a detente.
Okay.
Between myself and the surgeons that she would be kept completely away from me and vice versa because
it's good.
I would have severe anger management issues with Nurse Ratched.
Yeah, you can't have that kind of stuff when you're trying to deal with, you know, being put under.
Although in the outcome of all of this, I did not shave. And I have not shaved because it was the wish of my girlfriend, Nancy Regula, who said, why don't you keep the beard? And then the most recent cat that we rescued, the kitten, Ajax, who loves to rub up on the beard. And then a whole host of other people have weighed in because we've posted it on the Curtis Sliwa Facebook page here at WABC. And we've tweeted it out. And, you know, there are thousands of responses.
I have to tell you, Curtis.
And it's neck and neck.
Oh, it can't be neck and neck. I don't believe that.
There's only like 70 votes that separate thousands of people who've weighed in on this.
Is that right? Because I think this looks... Everybody that I've spoken to says, if you get rid of it, you're crazy. And I'd actually like to see a little bit, not the ZZ Top thing. I heard you playing that yesterday. Not quite the ZZ Top look, but I'd like to see a little bit of, you know, the heavy metal guy.
This is my problem. I like the clean look to begin with, but that's not a deterrent to keeping the beard. It's the itch. I feel like I have a jock itch.
You know, once it gets past right about this length, because it's just, like a quarter of an inch at this point, or not even.
Last night, Juliet Huddy, I was at the point I was going to get Desinex.
Desitin?
No, Desinex. You know, that you use when your feet, your dogs are itching.
Oh, is that anything like Desitin? I used to tell my mom, I used to want her to rub Desitin on me.
Oh, really? Desitin. What is Desitin?
Mommy, I like Desitin. Would you rub some Desitin on me?
What is Desitin?
I know what Desinex is. It's like this... I should be saying this. I don't know. It's like this little white salve or something like that for little kids when their bums hurt or something. you don't know?
But Desinex is when you have athlete's foot.
Probably the same. Well, it's like
my father used to have that, and he would take the white athletic socks, and he would put the canister of Desinex in it, and it would be
and
just...
And he would just knock into you?
And then he'd put it on, and all you would see is this cloud, this plume of Desinex. He had really bad athlete's feet problem.
Why would he have to put it in a sock, though? Why doesn't he just dump it on
him? He's Polish. That explains it all. In my dad's mind. And it made him feel better. But he had to have the Desinex. And so I was at the point last night where Nancy was saying, oh, no, don't worry, you'll get over it, the itch, the beard itch. I said, I just want to take my father's remedy for the problems that he had with his feet when his dogs were talking to him and just put Desinex on my beard.
I actually, this is better, Desitin. Mommy, can I have some Desitin? It's diaper rash cream. So how brilliant was I as a little child? I could articulate. I wanted more Desitin.
So I'm
going to
be diaper rash cream on my
beard. But here's the difference: is that you're not going to look like you're a cokehead with a bunch of white in your beard. You can just mush it in, and it will the Desitin because it's an ointment, and it will gradually dissolve, and you won't be able to look.
Now,
like,
have you been recently having that urge to have Desitin smeared all over your body?
I mean, it actually sounds kind of comfortable.
Well, let's find out from our listeners.
It sounds kind of nice.
Clearly, right now. The vote. It's only a 70 vote differential in favor of me keeping the beard.
Oh, come on, people. He looks so good. You got to look at the picture.
If I'm forced to keep the beard, because it will be the will of our listeners who are weighing in, what remedies can anyone suggest out there to deal with this jock itch that I have with my beard that makes me feel like my father Chester years ago when he was putting in the Desinex into his socks because he had athlete's feet?
Like I said, Desitin.
1-800.
Do you want me to get you a little bottle of it?
848-WABC. I'll try anything.
I'm telling you.
1-800-848-9222. But you like the look.
I think it's awesome. I mean, it actually adds some
makes me look like Lucifer, like your husband.
My husband does not look like Lucifer. He looks like Jesus.
He's got a demonic look to him.
He does not. He looks like Jesus mixed with Charles Manson.
Jesus. Do I want to look like Jesus or do I want to look like Charles
Manson? Well, you kind of would look like Jesus right now if you grew your beard a little bit longer because you are fairly thin, I have to say. I'm happy that you're eating normal.
Although
jelly donuts aren't exactly normal.
175 pounds. But as you know,
crazy.
I just had a jelly donut before the show. I could not have had a jelly donut in the last 2 years.
No, all you had was turkey and white bread?
No, turkey. I even eliminated the bread. It was getting so difficult. And Gatorade fruit
bread.
Punch.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Anyway, let's go to the phone. Jimmy, first in queue from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Jim?
Good afternoon, Curtis. Do not put Desitin in your hair.
Why?
It'll turn your hair white, and it takes about a half a dozen washings to come out.
Wait, Desitin, like the ointment for baby rash?
Absolutely. If you we're talking about music. If you Google the band Rammstein, the German industrial rock band, their lead singer puts Desitin in his hair to make it look the way it does.
Are you kidding me right now? Hold on a second.
Rammstein. 20 years.
Rammstein. Rammstein. Is this a speed metal band?
Very much so.
So if you look at Till Lindemann's hair, he puts Desitin in his hair to make it look white
and shiny. I'm looking this up right now. This is hysterical. No,
anyway,
but I think Curtis would actually, I think that would be a cool look because it's kind of gray right now.
Let's go to Sharon, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, Curtis. How are you? I'm glad to hear you're back.
Feeling much better, Sharon.
Listen, it just occurred to me that hydrocortisone might help your itchy skin under that beard.
Hydrocortisone?
That's
like
when you get, that's like when a bee bites you, right?
Yeah,
well, you can buy it anywhere. You have to get a dermatologist to get a little bit stronger.
So you don't recommend Desitin?
Well, it's so messy, you'd have to wash his face right away.
Oh, yeah, I'm reading just from what our caller said. How do they get their hair gray like that? Apparently they use Desitin, which is a baby cream used to cure diaper rash. But Curtis's hair is already gray in his beard.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of a salt and pepper, but leaning more towards a salt.
Anyway, let's go to Phil, who's calling from Connecticut. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy, Phil.
Hey, it's Phil, and how you doing, Curtis? Glad to have you back.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, it's not the beard that's itching. It's the cats rubbing on your face. Whenever the cats, when you grow that beard, because I went through this myself, the cats want to rub all over your face, and it's not because they love you.
Well, now?
No. My husband, when he was growing his beard out, when he was fairly clean shaven, he was going crazy with the itchiness. This guy that we just traveled with, our friend Rob, he was just growing his beard. He had never had a beard for years and years because he's a police officer in New York. He started to grow his beard out over the vacation, and it was itching like crazy, and there were no cats around, as far as I know.
We have four rescue cats. The first one was Hercules. He's the patriarch.
Hercules.
He's the Siamese cat. He does not rub against my beard, nor does Apollo, who followed. He's the tuxedo cat that we rescued from
Very
a kill
cute.
Shelter on Linden Boulevard in East New York. Then there was Athena, who Nancy rescued in a backyard in Sunset Park.
How big is this place you're living in, Curtis, for God's sake? I mean,
it's
a lot of cats.
Yeah, it's small. And it's Ajax, who's the little kitten, the little runt
that
Nancy rescued. He's the one who's constantly rubbing up against my beard, and he purrs.
Oh, that's so.
He purrs
it's
when
so
he rubs
relaxing,
against
though.
The beard.
It's like a
Well, ladies and gentlemen,
a lullaby.
There are 70 votes that separate all of you, the ones who want me to keep the beard. And I know some people want me to keep the beard because they really hate me. They despise me and they know I don't like the beard.
No, no, no. You like the beard. You're 50-50 on it.
I don't because it's, again, I got jock itch here.
Well, you just need the ointment. Get the Desitin.
How about if I put a jock strap on my chin? Will that deal with the jock itch?
You know what? I think you should try. Yeah. And in fact, let's go walk around Penn Station together.
No,
with
because,
that,
you know, Brian Mangalucci here. Who would prefer to be at the Fan than be here at WABC. He is a jock.
It's not true.
As a hipster millennial. He used to put Desinex in his jock strap. I kid you not.
How do you
know this? What a gavone. Oh, he brags about it. Oh, he said, yeah, I used to have my jock strap with my cup, and I put Desinex in there.
Justin is looking horrified right now. He's like, get me out of this control room.
And I said,
this
what a gavone.
This is crazy.
Anyway, our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
77 WABC.
Well, AM, here I am with the keys in my hand. Said you'd pick me up, you're late again.
Yes. Yes.
Out in the cold on the side.
Drop a little Molly. Become a whirling.
What is this? What is this? I like it.
There's a demon.
Is that a person or a song?
Oh, you catch it. You catch the groove. It's a little bit too much. A little bit too much singing here. We need to come in with the punchline. Let's do it here, Brian Mangalucci. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay, I mean, this is pretty good.
Anyway.
Don't know why you don't, like, Dua Lipa, that song I played that one time.
I have jock itch on this growing beard.
Okay, how lovely.
And you recommend what did I use?
I was suggesting Desitin, the baby stuff, but people are telling me that if you put it in your beard, it's going to make you look like you, it's going to be really sticky and make you look like you have gray hair, but you kind of do
and
have gray
hair. I'm drinking Desinex that my father Chester used to use in his socks. For athlete's foot.
Can I just tell you, I'm reading, there's a beard, there's actually something called wisebeards.com. It says argan or jojoba is good. It's the extract of the argan tree, which softens and thickens facial hair.
Jojoba.
Jojoba.
Isn't she the co-host of the Today Show now with Savannah?
No, that's Hoda. It's spelled H-O-D-A.
Yeah, and sometimes I notice she grows a little bit of a beard.
Oh, stop. She does. Don't say stuff
like
that.
Come on. Hey, there are women who grow a little beard.
I'm trying to help you out here.
Mustache.
Do you want to get info on jojoba and argan?
I want to go to the phones. to Linda in Rockland County. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Linda?
Hello.
Curtis, get rid of the beard. Don't listen to this, Julia. You got to watch what you eat. It gets stuck in the beard and it gets hard. Get the hell out of here. Take it off.
God, no. And it's Juliet, by the way. But no, why? He looks so... Have you seen the pictures of him?
Juliet, he's a clean guy. He's a clean-cut guy. He doesn't need that thing around his face.
Oh, my husband is a clean-cut guy. Well, no, he's not. Not really.
You're telling him to put all this ointment all over it. It's going to stink. You think these ointments don't smell?
Oh, well, actually, cocoa butter is a good suggestion. That doesn't smell. That would smell really nice.
Yes. Yes.
Get rid of it. Get rid of it.
Okay,
Linda.
I am prepared to
damn you, Linda, damn you.
I am prepared to do a dry shave.
Oh.
Because this itching is driving me nuts.
Wait, what is that?
Jock
dry
itch.
Shave meaning like you don't put any goo on your face? You just,
no goo,
why
no
would you
water.
Do that?
Well, because a man's man can do a dry shave.
Oh, jeez. Goo? Yeah, goo. What? Shaving cream.
Unlike those hipsters.
Whatever.
Who they want a little trim, but they'll never do a dry shave because...
Because why? Because why would you add stress
to your face? It'll be
scratchy.
It'll be irritated. Because you got to show you're a man's man.
Oh, jeez. Oh, why do you have to prove that you're a man's man? Aren't you just a man's man just by walking through the streets of New York City and having cleaned them up for the last 30 years?
Not in this city. Let's go to Ben, who's calling from Park Slope. The Slope. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet here on WABC. Ben.
Hey, I'm keeping an eye on the dope from the slope for you. I wanted to let you know, you're almost at the point where it's going to stop itching based on how long you've been growing it.
True.
Once it's fully in, there's no more itch, I promise.
True. So true.
All right, so it started to grow, Ben, the day of the operation, December 13th. We are now almost a month.
Wow, you haven't touched it in a month?
That is a long time. That is a little confusing. I would think it would be non-itchy by now.
I think there's more to the story here. I think you.
Well, that's because the kitten, in this case Ajax, keeps rubbing up against it constantly.
So what does that mean? Have you shown it down a bit?
Well, yeah, Juliet. In this case, Nancy has taken the little clippers and trimmed it
a little bit. No. That's the problem. That's your problem here. You got to let it get out a little bit to get in good. Let it get out to get in good. Yeah, let it get a little wild, a little crazy, like your EDM.
Like Lucifer.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to get it as long as
like
Lucifer's.
Like Charlie Manson, right?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You know something? You're making me want to vomit. Anyway, up next.
Love you too, Curtis.
There's only one woman in the world that I know has something in common with the accuser of State Senator Jeff Klein up in Albany, Erica Vladimir. She said he stole a kiss from her, stuck his tongue down her throat for only 3 seconds, and never bothered her after that.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite similar to the story you told right here at WABC.
Not completely similar, no but...
And you'll retell the story about the time you were with then-citizen Donald Trump, and while riding up the elevator at Trump Tower, he gave you a little tongue action.
Now, you remember that I've received death threats since I told that story.
And we want those death threats to continue.
Yes, we do. Don't have to be rich, be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no particular sign that I'm all compatible with. I just want your extra time and your kiss.
With my raspberry beret on.
What are your feelings about Prince?
Artist, X, whatever his many names are.
Prince.
Never liked the purple whirling dervish out of Minneapolis.
Really?
Although, Party Like 1999 classic, Raspberry Beret had some really great classic
songs.
But
so then you do like him?
Depends on the song. Little too freaky deaky for me. You know, sort of like this, what can we call it? I won't call him bisexual, trisexual. He's sort of like just...
Ambig-sexual?
Yeah, he's just totally freaky-deaky.
Oh, well.
Sexually
don't judge.
Ambiguous.
Don't judge.
But anyway, let's put it aside. Perfect
about
lead
your
in
proclivities?
To you as an expert in this subject.
Uh-huh.
Because you told us a while back, before I underwent my operation on December 13th, that you were in a situation with then-citizen Trump as he was, riding herd over the hit that he had at NBC, The Apprentice, and then The Celebrity Apprentice. And could you, once again, tell us that story of what transpired after your sit-down meeting with him?
We just had a lunch. He was very kind. He was a fan of Fox and Friends at the time, which I had hosted for Fox News Channel in the mid-2005, I think it was, right around. He asked me to go to lunch, and I did. And afterward, as we were in the elevator saying goodbye, he leaned in to, you know, give me a hug goodbye, a kiss on the cheek, and he went in for the lips. There was no tongue, Curtis. And despite what the media decided to do, which was completely make it a clickbait story and make it into something that it wasn't, I had no problem with it. I thought it was, I was sort of flattered by it, a little shocked, a little taken off guard, a little disappointed because I thought, well, he wanted to meet with me because he thought I was really good at my job.
I thought, is
the only reason because he maybe, you know, kind of liked me. But he was always wonderful to me after that. He never, ever did anything to make me think that he did not respect
me. But he did come out onto the set at the Fox News Channel while you were there and tell the audience that he had tried to hit on you, right?
Yeah, he made a joke out of it. He said, I tried to hit on her, but she blew me off. And the audience laughed, and the producers laughed, and it was no big deal. It was all copacetic.
You were in the elevator.
And he was not engaged, nor was he married at that time.
His trusted bodyguard was at his side. He unexpectedly leans over and gives you a kiss that lasted, what, all of 3 seconds?
Not even.
Okay. Now, we have a situation somewhat similar. That took place up in Albany, according to Erica Vladimir, who at the time was a staff member for State Senator Jeff Klein.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of people say, Jeff Klein, he's just another state senator. No, he's a big mocker there. It's the four guys in the room. He's one of them that makes all the decisions with Cuomo, with Flaherty, Flanagan,
He's an Albany power player.
And with the crook, Hasty, the assembly speaker. So they make the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Erica says at the time, he, his staff and her were working furiously to hammer out the budget, which is true. They work around the clock.
Right.
And they all went out to a local gin mill, including in the company was Jeff Klein's longtime girlfriend, fellow state senator, Diane Savino from Brooklyn and Staten Island. and that both of them are smokers, meaning of cigarettes.
Mm-hmm.
So they stepped out momentarily from the gin mill to just smoke a cigarette, which is the law. And within a period of a few moments, apparently, Jeff Klein cupped his hand around her neck, stuck his tongue down her throat for all of she said about 3 seconds. Right,
this Erica. Erica woman. Okay.
And then she objected, and he said, what? You know, he acted like, what? And it never went anywhere else. Apparently, he didn't start texting her or threatening her.
Or holding her job over her head.
Right. But
penalizing her, targeting her, nothing.
But the problem is that at that particular point, and obviously it has lingered, she had this particular feeling about that night in question.
I had drinks, but honestly, so what? Does that put a green light over my head to anybody to try and shove their tongue down my throat to use their power over me?
Okay. How old is this woman, by the way?
She was in her early 20s at the time.
Okay. And so she was disturbed by this?
Yes, because she actually went to the home of her friends, who both work in state government,
mm-hmm.
spent the night talking to them about what had transpired, and she said the following about that.
In my head, it was more than just he tried to kiss me. It was he tried to use his power over me, and he thought, because he thought he could, or he knew he could.
And then she followed up because she actually went to a different state senator, a Democrat, Liz Krueger, without mentioning Jeff Klein's name, to complain.
I did speak to someone just to get their opinion as to what they think I should do. And ultimately, I made the decision that government is not the place for me.
So she left, but okay. without mm-hmm. him pressuring her or hitting on her again. It's somewhat similar to your situation
not
with
Trump. Really. I mean, it's not really.
Sure.
My reaction was not in any way similar to her reaction.
Trump never hit on you again.
I'm not going to put myself in her position to pretend like I know who she is and what she's been through. To me, this seems like a guy who was older and did have power. And
she
perceived as having power. But he was awkward and
very awkward.
Aggressive
and by the way, you need to know
about his behavior.
You need to know Juliet Huddy. He's mm-hmm. known for wearing a bad rug and using man tan.
Okay, so the guy, he's a doofus. I mean, how many times have women had a guy who thought, you know, they had a little chance and so they went in for the kiss? And some women find that romantic if it turns out to be a guy that they really like and he's finally going in for the kiss. Other women find it, disgusting, I guess, based on the guy. But to me, if he's not holding anything, look, it's a clumsy move. It's an awkward move. It puts the girl in an awkward position, but it's not an attack.
Well,
it shouldn't.
When asked. Why now? Because that was 2015.
Mm-hmm.
She says it's bothered her continuously. But in this age of Me Too, and you know, you're not going to get away with it, she has come up with a different angle here. Other than a lot of other women who feel they've been abused, she has said basically directly to Jeff Klein through the media,
mm-hmm.
Jeff, come clean, acknowledge it, and more importantly, be a leader in this movement to remove this kind of behavior in Albany where it's systemic.
Hey, listen, if he comes clean and says, yeah, I did it, okay. But why does he have to be part of any move? Why is she forcing him to be part of anything? That's ridiculous.
Because he is a leader in Albany and people do follow him.
Oh, and that'd be great if he did. But, I mean, isn't she trying to sort of extort him?
Well,
it seems a
she's
little...
also saying, and if he chooses not to acknowledge it and be a leader in the movement to cleanse Albany of that kind of systemic behavior that so many others have been found responsible of. Probably the most egregious was the lech, the former assemblyman, thank God he's now dead, room temperature, Vito Lopez, who you couldn't even have interns around. You had to have an intern-free zone. He was such a lech. And she has said if he would actually participate in this movement and help lead it, he should stay. But if he chooses to ignore it, he needs to go.
Well, so I don't understand. Was this move in her mind by Jeff Klein assault or was it not assault? Because if she's saying that she was assaulted and She feels she was assaulted and has ruined her life in many ways.
I don't.
And then she says it's okay. He should get away with it. I don't understand.
In this climate, I don't know what you would
quantify this as. This is the problem because there are women who have legit and men who have legitimately been targets of sexual harassment and sexual misconduct. To me, situations like this water up. You know, they dilute sincere feelings and sincere concerns from people like me and people whose careers have been ruined.
Juliet, the reason
by harassers.
You're a perfect example is Fox News Channel and Bill O'Reilly settled with you.
I can't talk about that.
No, I know you have a non-disclosure, but we know you are one of the many that were involved with settlements that came out of the Fox News Channel to protect Bill O'Reilly at the time. So you legitimately were a victim because they settled.
Well, there are still a lot of people out there who think, well, these guys, let's say, just hypothetically, Bill O'Reilly, let's use him as an example.
Right.
He did nothing wrong because we really haven't seen, you know, we really haven't seen enough to tell us that he has sexually assaulted somebody. That's the problem with non-disclosure agreements.
Sexual harassment, there's no doubt. You're just one of many. Now, the question is, does the Erica Vladimir accusation against Jeff Klein make it easier for women or harder for women because people are confused about this?
I think it's confusing. I think it's diluting the legitimate concerns and complaints and situations. I think this muddies the waters. To me, I'll say this until I'm blue in the face. I didn't think that Donald Trump did anything wrong at all. I was, you know, half flattered, half a little bit like, well, but I didn't think he did anything wrong. It seemed like it was a man who was a single man and he felt I was a single woman, which I was, and he made a move. And, you know, just nothing ever happened.
Okay,
he never held anything over my head. He never didn't hire me because of something.
I think,
you know,
in 2015, Jeff Klein was single, although he obviously has a long-time relationship.
Even if he had a girlfriend.
With Diane
Sabino. Even if he had a girlfriend.
She was right there, a few feet away in the gin mill.
Completely bizarre. But, I mean, even if he had a girlfriend, the act of leaning in and kissing somebody without
unwanted
their permission,
right,
is, to me, it's just, I just think you have to kind of look at every situation. To me, this doesn't sound like it was some assault situation where she should have been, you know, scared and left the industry.
Let's find out from our many listeners, Juliet Huddy. 1-800-848-WABC. Is it an overreaction by Erica Vladimir, who has brought this to the surface now in 2018, although it happened in 2015? Or is it something that women are constantly being subjected to and it needs to end? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
This never occurred. Senator Klein was outside smoking, and he wasn't alone. There were other people there. There were other staff members smoking. This incident never occurred.
So this is the girlfriend. Publicly, it's been acknowledged for years. Diane Savino, fellow state senator to Jeff Klein. They've been a public couple.
Mm-hmm.
Who was just a few dozen feet away in the gin mill while Jeff Klein and the young lady Erica Vladimir had gone outside momentarily to smoke a cigarette.
What is Erica Vladimir? What's her story? What is she doing? What's her background besides working in politics at that point?
Well, as a young woman, like a lot of young women, they go to Albany and they work in staff positions, which has made them extraordinarily vulnerable to older men.
Of course, but she was disillusioned because he leaned in for a kiss, she says.
Well, that's what
and
she says.
She left the business completely.
Right. Not that she was driven out, but that it has affected her over the 2 years. And whereas you are not affected in that capacity, and some other women have
perhaps I'm just a bit more seasoned than Erica, but
if you were to counsel her, because clearly you see the girlfriend said it didn't happen, you know, she's doing a Hillary Rodham Clinton, standing by her man, in this case Jeff Klein.
I mean, maybe it didn't, maybe it didn't.
Your counsel be, though, to Erica Vladimir as she continues on in life?
Well, I would say I'd like to see more examples, or I'd like to understand more as to why that one incident basically blackballed, you know, the world of politics for her. Why does she look down on politics so much because of that one incident. To me, that incident is just not a very dramatic incident. Now, I don't look at it as assault.
She says, Juliet, mm-hmm. that the culture in Albany was of leches.
Okay, that may be true. So that to me is understandable. But maybe she saw more. That was her experience with this Mr. Klein, but she saw more, involving other people, and maybe that was enough. And then I understand that.
Wouldn't it help in this case, rather than Jeff Klein deny it, just acknowledge it, it's an indiscretion, something I did momentarily, I regret it.
What if he didn't do it, though?
Oh, I think he did.
You do? Is he known for that kind of behavior?
Look at him.
I don't know.
Looks
he
like
can't
a
look
perv.
At somebody. Oh, come on.
Come on.
Can't
he's
do
got
that.
A bad rug. He's got the man tan. And he looks like a lech.
You can't.
Looks like a perv.
Just because you look like a lech doesn't mean that you are a lech.
Well, you know I stereotype
you.
People. Right.
Just kidding.
I stereotype. But then again, Franco, right?
James
got
Franco,
his own
exactly.
He doesn't look like a lech.
No.
He doesn't look like a perv.
He does not. He's, but we're hearing some pervy things about him.
Man.
But you can't look at somebody and say they're a perv or they're not.
But he, too, took advantage of younger women.
Yes.
Who
yes, he did.
Had come to him for acting and coaching and guidance.
I think to me, what it comes down to is, were you assaulted? I don't look at that as assault. Now, it's just me. I don't. I know some women do. I don't. But the other thing I think that is equally as important is, after that incident, were you targeted by this man? Was your career compromised? Was he complicit in destroying your career, destroying who you are, destroying destroying your position?
I think that's
what happened to me,
and
I don't know that that's what happened to her.
Right. I think Erica Vladimir is part of this new move. We mentioned Franco, the actor. Time's up. Hashtag time's up. Basically, it's sort of like Jeff Klein. Either come to grips with it, or I'm going to continue to criticize you.
We'll talk more later about this.
And make your life miserable. Up next, Donald Trump says he didn't call Africa and Haiti a bovine organite hole.
Curtis Lewa.
Boom!
The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Lewa
from
the Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Lewa.
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Lewa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa.
Curtis Lewa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Don't they have an EDM version of this? Like,
no, actually,
speed this
I like
up
this.
A little bit.
I like this, Nancy Kerrigan. No, I mean, Tanya Iheartie. No, I mean, Juliet Huddy in the house
no,
with us.
Oh, thank you. Sometimes I wish I could do what happened. Actually, I shouldn't say that.
As we're Hyatt Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us by NJDiet.com to do this broadcast to all of you. It's almost like we're at the DMZ that separates South Korea from the kimchi curtain of Kim Jong mentally ill in North Korea.
In what way? Why?
Well, because of the beginning of the Winter Olympic Games, apparently there will be two North Korean contestants who will march in the opening ceremonies their South Korean brothers and sisters.
I have to tell you, I mean, that's wonderful, but I feel like something's going to go wrong with this. I feel like we're somehow being snowed. I don't know. I don't trust this.
Oh, when you mentioned getting snowed,
mm-hmm.
boy, have we gotten snowed by Holly Weird.
There's a shocker for you.
I'm the first to say that the more compelling stories that Hollywood can churn out and turn in either into a movie in the big screen or for Netflix or Amazon or whatever, or even for TV, are going to be about bad folks as opposed to goody two-shoes. Because it's just there's more to talk about.
Yeah,
there's more
goody
to flesh
two-shoes
out.
Are goody two-shoes for a reason. Right. They're not interesting.
So if we go back to
no
1994, remember there were the Olympic trials for the Winter Olympic Games.
We were so young then.
Figure skating. Nancy Kerrigan, Tanya Harding, and a group of other women competing to represent the United States. And then remember, there was that day that Nancy Kerrigan was preparing, you know, for her routine.
And she was like the Disney princess. Yeah. I mean, she was beautiful with the gleaming teeth, and she had the story, you know, one of her parents was blind, and she was just, She was America's sweetheart at that point.
And let's face it, she was like Peggy Fleming used to be, if you remember Peggy Fleming.
Yes, of course.
America's sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya Harding was not.
She was America's girl from the trailer park who was very rough around the edges.
Yeah, that could have been a compelling story.
And
too.
It was, and people were hopeful for her. And some people thought, you know, Nancy Kerrigan was a little too sweet and too cute and too phony.
And then let them battle it out based on their performance on the ice. Yet, apparently some knuckle draggers, some jadrul showed up with a crowbar and a wrench. And they kneecapped Nancy Kerrigan. And remember her response?
Why?
And remember, this was a young woman whose career was ahead of her. People were banking on her to win the Olympics, to win the gold. So this could have just absolutely, they said if it was one inch lower, she would have had to have help walking for the rest of her life.
We wouldn't even think that. In this Winter Olympics coming up, now that the North Koreans will participate, two of their members, that even the evil seed of Kim Jong mentally ill would actually stoop to having his agents kneecap a South Korean soul.
I think that maybe that is something on par with what Un would do. But
I don't think he would do that. But Tanya, remember, always took the code of America. I didn't know anything about this. I wasn't a participant.
Well, the FBI sees it a different way.
Right. And she became, rightfully so, a pariah. She was ostracized.
But she also was just nasty. You know, she was nasty about it. She wasn't concerned. She was like, well, hey, what's wrong? You know, why are you getting mad at me?
So it was a very compelling story that Hollywood picked up about her life. And they turned it into a movie. And it did very good, Tanya I. Harding. And in fact, Allison Janine, who played her mother in the movie, took to the bully pulpit at the Golden Globes. And she wasn't talking about it's time to settle all scores, hashtag time to settle all scores. She was actually extolling the virtues of the real-life Tanya Harding.
I'd like to thank Tanya for sharing her story with Stephen and allowing him to tell all the different sides of the story. And what I love about this movie, what this entire Sebastian, Julianne, everyone in this movie did, is tell a story about class in America, tell a story about the disenfranchised, tell a story about a woman who was not embraced for her individuality, tell a story about truth and the perception of truth in the media.
Actually, people, she couldn't be more wrong. I mean, I actually like Allison Janney, but people were rooting for Tanya Harding. They loved the fact that she was, from the wrong side of the tracks. They love that. So I don't know really. And everybody understood, when as the prelude began to sort of build up towards the Olympics, everybody got that Nancy was the princess and Tanya was not.
The actress who spoke, who played her mother,
Allison Janney. Mm-hmm.
I think she's not aware of what the real mother of Tanya Harding has said about her daughter. The real mother has said she's nothing but a pathological liar.
Yeah.
That's her real mother.
Yeah.
Who knows her better than Allison or anybody who spent a few days or a few weeks or a few months with Tanya Harding in preparing this movie.
Well, by the way, Tanya Harding was only paid. I love how Holly, they're so just disingenuous. She was only paid $1,500 for her life rights. I mean...
Well, at that time, that's all they were worth.
No, well, just, for this story. I mean, I want to know how much she made on this. Did she get points?
But let's face it, this movie did her well because it recycled her, resurrected her. I mean, basically, Tanya Harding is like, I don't want to talk about Tanya Harding. And she's made the rounds now in promoting the movie and talking about her life. She was on with Piers Morgan, and she went into her spiel.
I think the victim in all this wasn't you. It was Nancy Kerrigan, who had her Olympic dream shattered quite literally in her legs.
I believe that we all thank you so much. I appreciate being on your show, but I think I'm going to have to say have a good night.
You're going to end the interview because I think that Nancy Kerrigan was the victim here, not you.
You weren't letting me finish. I think that many people are the victims of abuse every single day.
She's so full of it.
She had a bad hair night, okay? We'll chalk that up.
She had a bad hair night at the Golden Globes, too, I have to say. I mean, Tanya, get a stylist to help you out.
But Juliet, Piers Morgan can sort of get under your skin.
Oh, I actually like him. I find him just, but he's British.
He's a Brit.
I know.
Right,
so, I mean,
okay.
You know.
Well, put that aside. Now, last night, she was on ABC, right? The big interview, they were touting it for like days and days. And a lot of people were reinterested in her because the movie did so well, won the Golden Globes. And listen to her last night talking about how she still acts like she knew nothing at all about the choreographed attack against her competitor, Nancy Kerrigan, on the ice in 1994.
You never said to Jeff, let's do this.
No. No.
He never asked for your permission.
No.
And you were never part of the planning.
No. I did, however, overhear them talking about stuff where, well, maybe we should take somebody out so we can make sure she gets on the team.
So great.
And I remember telling them, I go, what the hell are you talking about?
Okay, and that's where it stopped. She just said, what the hell are you talking about? They said, oh, nothing. We were just talking about Tweety Bird. Yeah. By the way, multiple witnesses gave at the FBI statements that did not corroborate Tanya Harding's story. And by the way, they were talking about also doing things even worse, possibly even killing her.
You realize,
Nancy Kerrigan,
the major vehicle that the FBI, Forever Busting Italians, used to break the back of Italian organized crime was the RICO Act, not named after Rico Petrocelli, who used to play shortstop for the Boston Red Sox and graduated from Lafayette High School in Brooklyn. You could have hit it with a RICO Act, because even though she did not participate physically in the attack, she was part of the conspiracy.
The guy that was hired, this guy Shane Stant, the guy that was hired to sort of execute the whole thing, he told the FBI that they had talked about murdering Kerrigan, or at the very least slicing her Achilles tendon, or maybe buying one of those beater cars to run her off the road. But then they said, well, you know what? How about we just go with the landing leg? Let's smash the landing leg. That, you know, her right leg. That would suffice. That would get her out of it.
There's an update. There's an update to her obstinance and her lack of reality.
Oh, it's great, too.
She's riding high, obviously, in terms of her resurrection and her career being recycled as a person who is no longer considered so vile, so evil, because Hollywood has cast her a little differently, that she wanted her agent. Now, this almost sounds Trump-like. In a way, the way he wants libel laws, you know, put into effect, although not to the same extreme as Tanya Harding. She says to her agents, I want these reporters fined $25,000 if, like Pierce Morgan, they ask me the question about whether I was involved in the attack on my my competition. Nancy
Okay,
Curry.
Honey, you obviously don't understand journalism. It doesn't work that way. Anytime in my career, somebody said, you have limitations to what you can ask. I laughed. I nodded my head, and I immediately asked that question. You just don't do it. Nobody's going to tell me what I'm going to ask somebody a subject. Should do my job.
How do you fine a journalist $25,000?
Because you're Tanya Harding, and you obviously have somehow you've made some money now and resurrected your reputation based on Hollywood, you know, taking poetic license with your story.
Now
you actually buy into it.
Right. The agent obviously was doing well in promoting Tanya. Everybody wanted her on their programs.
Yeah.
Obviously, the agent earning a lot of money because of this decided that is such an outrageous demand that we're dropping you.
Well, I'm sure
we're going to have nothing to do with you, Tanya.
I'm sure the agent was, you know, getting all sorts of phone calls from all sorts of networks and, you know, and reporters saying,
what are you
talking about?
Do you go to a FISA court and demand that members of the Fourth Estate get fined $25,000?
It just shows how stupid and ignorant
this
woman
is. The one question that anybody's going to ask, were you in any way, shape, or form involved in the attack on your competitor, Nancy Kerrigan, on the ice in 1994? I mean, that's going to come from anyone asking you a question.
Which she's taken a beating, so to speak, to everything that she had just made in the last several months. It's completely out the window. She's a joke again.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners out there.
No one to blame but herself.
They have any sympathy or empathy for the gal, Tanya Harding, who had this great movie done about her that just resurrected, recycled her career.
It came at such a weird time.
Gave everybody a second look.
It came at such a weird time, too, with this whole Me Too and, you know, women being victimized. I mean, Nancy Kerrigan, I don't like she's got a nasty little attitude. I never liked her, but I mean, she was the victim here. Pierce Morgan is absolutely right. And, you know, what about her? Why is she being made to look like the pariah? Or at least she was.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Par for the course now, where everybody says fake media, fake news. You can't attack me. You can't criticize me. Let's fine them. Let's lock them up. Let's hit them with libel laws. God, this is just so out of control. Anyway, let's go to Lizzie calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis Lizzie. And Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Liz.
Hey, Juliet Huddy.
Yes.
Hey, I wanted to comment. You're absolutely right. Like, is this person allowed to hurt this girl in a sport and then get away with it? Like, why are we even acting like this woman is a victim?
I don't get it either. I mean, you know, because it makes somebody in Hollywood decided this makes a great story. Let's play a little. Let's use some creative license and use a little twitching and turning and make a Hollywood story. It was a fairy. That's exactly what it is. It's a fairy tale. It's not real. It's absolutely not real.
But is that not what's wrong with everybody?
I guess.
But that's what's wrong. Like, people are allowed to get away with everything now. Everyone's allowed to sue. Everyone's allowed to do everything. She should be in jail.
Oh, there's no doubt. And by the way, Tanya Harding could have reserved herself and made no comments as this movie was being given many plaudits. She didn't have to do interviews. She could have just kept to her own self.
Well, she could have done interviews and just handled herself with class and grace, impossible, apparently, for her.
Let's say that you were like the lawyers who were handling the president, Donald Trump, with the thought that he might sit with Mueller and his inquisitors. you're saying, Mr. President, you don't want to do that.
Just be quiet.
Right. In this case, it could have been Tanya. It ain't going to get any better than this. You just had Allison get up on the stage, revive you in the minds of a new generation that knew nothing about you.
But you know, Curtis, that there are just certain people, they just can't keep their mouths shut, and they just have to have the last word, even if it's going to, you know, cut off their nose to spite their face type of situation. And she's obviously one of those people.
Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And when we come back, Juliet, we have to talk about how you, the only one of the tens of thousands who upon your return to JFK did not get stuck.
Well, I was on a plane with, I think, 500 other people, and I think we were pretty much okay.
You'll have to break it down because everybody else, they're still waiting for their luggage.
I have a theory as to why this is. I'm going to tell you.
They're still waiting for their luggage.
I'm going to tell you
1-800-848-WABC.
Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa. 77-WABC.
I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky.
This pedophile on a pedestal, R. Kelly. Singing about flying. Momentarily, we're going to find out, Juliet Huddy, how you were able to make it into JFK while everybody else was stranded after being overseas. But let's first go to Neil, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Neil.
Hey, Neil.
Hello?
Hi, Neil.
Who am I talking with?
Juliet and Curtis here.
Okay, Curtis, how are you? I've always admired and respected you.
I'm feeling a lot better after that recent surgery.
I'm doing pretty damn good, too.
I go back to the 70s when you were represented by Pete Purvis from Legal Aid.
That's right. I was getting locked up every other week by the NYPD. That's good memory.
I was with Legal Aid at the time, and I remember. I remember when you were tall, dark, and handsome.
Yeah, thank you. And you saw me, obviously, with the silver bracelets on, but appreciate that memory.
And I also have a picture of you with Sal Albanese standing in front of my brother Sheldon Ruskin's karate school on 18th Avenue.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. We were in the annual Christopher Day Columbus Parade. By the way, a little update, Christopher Columbus.
Yes,
that statue has been saved at 59th Street Columbus Circle and the two other locations where there are Christopher Columbus statues around the city. And the reason being is that the leader of the pack appointed to that Blue Ribbon Commission was Dedeo, Harry Belafonte, who hates all white people. He decided he wasn't going to participate. He went to one meeting and said, they're not going to follow what I want to do. I want to take down all the statues of all the old white men.
So now they're going to be adding plates and things like that to sort of give a little bit more context to the history and to the other peoples, you know.
But a guy.
Which I think is a great idea.
A guy who Meryl Streep and Oprah would have had a statue made in honor of, both in Hollyweird and here in New York, was the pig of all pigs, the Hazarai, Harvey Weinstein, right?
Oh, Harvey.
Do you know what this pig is up to now? He went before a judge in family court. Guy's swimming in dough, millions of dollars.
He's worth supposedly $250 million, right. At least he was.
Says he can't afford child support for his two daughters.
You know, honestly, Curtis, we laugh at that, but I have to say, we have no idea what kind of deals he's been making to these women outside of, you know, what's been reported publicly. He could be paying hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, and
Juliet,
he could be broke as
he can afford. He can afford child support.
You never know.
He's out there in Arizona getting smacked around at five-star top-shelf restaurants. He can afford it.
Because he didn't take a selfie. That's the funny thing.
I pay 72% of my net in child support for three sons that I'm responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
But to say you can't afford child support, hey, sell some of the homes you own, you pig. But meantime, how did you get into JFK while everybody was on the outside looking in and they're still waiting for their luggage to be returned?
Honest to God, I don't know. I will say that I was on British Airways flight 177, I believe.
Ooh,
no,
British
I was not
Airways,
in first class. Yeah. I was in row 52.
Oh, row 52. Yeah.
Snug as a bug in a rug.
Steerage?
Pretty much. Yeah, it was just a couple of aisles away from the bathroom, from the lav.
Oh, yeah. No, the loo.
The loo. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you're talking like a quality person.
Like a limey blimey. Mm-hmm. Right, okay.
But I think, I don't know, they must have a good relationship with British Airways because our flight was, we were on time. We had no delay whatsoever. In fact, I have that global passport now, so I can just breeze right in, you know, through customs.
And wow.
I got right through, but we had to wait about an hour and 15 minutes or so for our luggage to come through. But I will say that our luggage, we had had an extended layover in London coming back from Venice. So our luggage, you know, probably had to go through some crazy maneuvers.
Bad.
No, I couldn't believe it.
Well,
and we got out and all of a sudden we're listening in the Uber and we're finding out. Holy moly.
Well, that's because you are the number one sycophant, toady, and lackey of the royal family.
That's true.
Which we will discuss up next, particularly in lieu of the fact that our president has opted out of his promised visit to the UK.
I think that's a good move on his part.
Because he has said it has nothing to do with the fact that there's going to be tens of thousands of people.
Oh, I think there's going to be millions of people
picketing
out there.
Me. But it's because Obama's embassy was built. I'm opposed to it. In the meantime, I'm scratching my head and said,
it wasn't Obama's.
Obama just facilitated what Bush 43 put into action.
Yeah.
It's like, before you speak or tweet,
think it
don't
through.
You think you ought to have somebody research it fully?
But you know that he can do that, and then he can just go back on it and say, oh, well, you know, and somehow twist it around, and everybody's okay with it.
He's not going to your favorite city, London, because he doesn't want to get the bums rush.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Yeah. This is my kind of music, Curtis. Nice job.
See, I can't diss the Clash.
Thank God.
Because they had dedicated a song to the Guardian Angels in the 80s.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Red Angel Dragnet. So I can't diss them. And they were the counterculture group of my time growing up.
We need to play that song. On the way out, maybe we can play that song. That's so cool.
But
that is so cool.
You love everything about England.
I do.
You are an Anglophile, right?
I'm a freaky Anglophile.
Okay. And
not in a weird way.
If you had your druthers, you'd be living there in any of the many queen's palaces.
Yes, that's true. I would.
That are funded by the suckers. I mean, the residents of the UK.
You know, that is accurate. However, there is a love that the people of England share with the monarchy. There's a love. And the people of Great Britain.
There are a number of stories that have to do with our president in the UK. First, let me talk about your love of Prince Harry and the actress Meghan Markle.
Well, hold on a second. I love Prince Harry. I'm slightly envious of Meghan Markle.
Okay.
She's becoming a princess, and
right,
it makes me upset.
Recently,
because I want to be one.
We saw the sit-down between Prince Harry and our former president, Barack Obama, in a exclusive radio interview for the BBC.
The BBC. Oh, yes.
And then immediately it was thought, Should we invite the former president and his wife, Michelle, to our wedding?
No, but they've been friendly since then. I mean, before then.
No, they had
a good relationship.
But okay. Would that offend Donald Trump?
I mean, who was bringing that up? I mean, why would Donald Trump even think that?
Well, because it was thought that maybe Donald Trump might attend.
He's not friends with them.
I know, but the point was the decorum about this.
Yes, because usually when you have a royal wedding, you invite. It's really members, you know, matters of state. It's kind of not really your wedding. It's the Queen's wedding, essentially.
But let's just say that in fact was the prevailing thought. You know, if we invite Barack Obama and his wife, it's going to offend Trump. Well, I have a feeling even if an invite went to Trump now, he would not be attending.
Oh, I don't know about that. I feel like he would attend. If he was invited to this wedding, for some reason, I feel that he would attend.
After what he did earlier today in tweeting out that he would not be visiting London as he was invited to do to cut the blue ribbon on the new American embassy that was built.
Well, he wasn't really dissing London. He wasn't dissing the English so much. I mean, he was dissing a certain neighborhood. He was dissing a deal that was made to move our embassy. Wait, and by the way, the new embassy is not in a bad area, number one. It's right across the Thames from Westminster.
It's in Wandsworth. Right, that's where I got stabbed.
I got stabbed
in South Wandsworth in a council estate.
That area has changed. It's a fortified building, and people are screaming about it because it's this giant monolith of glass and steel.
Okay,
but it's a safe area.
He knew that's why he was being invited over by the Prime Minister, Theresa May. Unlike Macron, who realized if you want to pull the chain of the president and chew his shorts, you invite him to a parade, Bastille parade, because he loves parades. The Prime Minister did not invite him to a parade. Said, "Hey, why don't you come cut the ribbon opening of the new American embassy that Bush 43 had signed off on?"
Yeah.
And then it was built when Barack Obama was the president.
That Bush 43 had signed up on. A Republican had signed off on
right.
this.
Okay.
To put it in an area where there is more chance for fortification and security for our embassy employees.
I think it's a waste of money. I agree. But then again, this president doesn't have a problem with our embassy being now in Jerusalem and Israel. Okay, so he's willing to spend money. The point being is, though, here, it has nothing to do with the embassy.
Of course
it has nothing to do with Trump cutting the ribbon. It has to do with the fact that the Lord Mayor of London, the Pakistani, he's actually, I think, born in the... he was born in Pakistan, right?
I don't know, actually.
Son of a bus driver. And he has basically said to Trump, "You're not welcome."
Oh, he can't stand Trump.
Rolling out the red carpet to the president of the USA in the circumstances where his policies go against everything we stand for. I think one of the things, when you have a special relationship, it's no different to when you've got a close mate. You stand with them in times of adversity, but you call them out when they're wrong.
He's been steadfast in that feeling, and he has been very critical of the president, as has most of England itself.
Well, this is the difference, though, between Ronald Reagan, because we're always making comparisons between Ronald Reagan and the new president, Donald Trump.
Not really
Ronald
sure there
Reagan
is much to compare.
Was loathed in the UK because Maggie Thatcher at the time, who was his great ally, said, "You can keep your nuclear warheads here in the UK as part of the Cold War," whereas other European nations were saying, "No, get them the hell out of here. We don't want to be incinerated by the Soviets."
Right, right. Thanks for putting a target on us now,
you know,
Maggie.
Brezhnev, Andropov, the rest of them. But Maggie Thatcher said, "No, keep them here." And as a result, there were demonstrations all over the UK against Ronald Reagan. They burned his effigy. They were casting aspersions against him. He visited. There were demonstrations against him. This president does not want to go to England because he doesn't want to face tens of thousands of people who are screaming invectives at him outside, which is, I would think, this is what Trump would want.
This is kind of his thing, but I guess when it's on his turf, he likes a bit of that, you know, a bit of the chaos, a bit of the, you know, back and forth.
Sure,
but when it's
stirring the pot.
But when it's out of control, I think the president is a guy who does have somewhat of a weak spine when it comes to criticism.
Well, I think also he has concerns about his safety. More so than some presidents have had.
I mean, yeah, potentially. I mean, I was over there. I was only in there for a day. I mean, but I was over in Europe for a week and a half or so. I mean, we tended to get into conversations, political conversations, just because it's really what you talk about when you talk to Americans who are overseas. Great. And I'm telling you, it's ugly. I mean, they not only think that they can't stand him, they think he's a horrible person, but they now think that Americans have the lack of respect for America has just skyrocketed. Well,
they have hated three Republican presidents. They hated Ronald Reagan because of the nuclear missiles and his partnership with Thatcher, who did not abandon us. They hated Bush 43, the war in Iraq. They hated their own prime minister, Tony Blair, for giving cover to Bush, you know, by talking about that yellow cake from Niger. That this, yeah. This proved that Saddam Hussein was developing nuclear weapons.
I don't know that the vitriol, though. I just got this sense because I was over there during Bush 43. I don't know that I felt the vitriol, and maybe I just wasn't picking up on it back then.
Of Bush 43 as a dullard.
They did. They thought he was a dope. They think that the president currently is very dangerous.
Yes. Now, the question is, ladies and gentlemen, do you all believe that the president canceled this trip to London that had been spoken about at length? And in fact, the prime minister said, no, we're not going to cancel it. We want the president to come here, Theresa May. That he canceled it because this would be acknowledging Barack Obama, who was president when the embassy was being built. Do we really buy that?
Well, because it's not even, it's just not accurate. It wasn't an Obama deal initially.
This is what he's tweeted out.
Right, exactly.
Or do you believe he just didn't want to face the hostile reaction that he would receive, even if he just spent a day in the UK to facilitate the ribbon cutting?
He could do
fly
so,
in and fly out.
He could do so much. I mean, just going over there and acting, I know I keep harping on this today, but I truly believe this is just, it's my opinion, going over there and acting presidential, acting statesmanlike, and speaking with, you know, with nuance and elegance and class and speaking like a statesman.
Well, this
and
is
not
what I would
like
suggest.
Some guttural vitriolic.
This is what I would suggest, that he amend that he actually go spend a day and then fly off to his golf course in Scotland, have some mutton, play a few rounds, because, you know, that usually calms him down, and then fly back to the United States. Make it he's going to be well-received in Scotland. They like his golf course there.
I would love to see him. I would love to see him over in London.
That would be like the yin to the yang.
Turn it around a little bit. Turn it around. I mean, we know he can give good speeches. We know he can be articulate. Yeah. We know he can rally a group, even a group of people who don't necessarily love him.
I wouldn't suggest he go before the House of Commons with the backbenchers. Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Bobby?
Yeah, it's, good afternoon. I just wanted to know how this co-host of yours could judge the feelings of the British people, and she's in England. She admits she's in England one day, yet she knows that they all hate him.
That was sort of an exaggeration. I have a lot of friends over there that I speak with on a frequent basis.
Friends like you, maybe, with the same thing.
I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you, sweetheart, but you can look at any newspaper article, you can look at any opinion, you can look at any tweet.
Why don't you let me say something?
Because you're sounding stupid. That's why.
I'm sounding stupid.
Yeah, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what you're talking about. Look at every poll. It's just, this is factual. It's not my opinion. It's fact.
It is your opinion.
No, it's not. Look at the.
You can't make a judgment on one visit.
I'm sorry it hurts your feelings that the British don't like Donald Trump, but they don't. Period.
You just talk like that, and you make it like that. All the people in England are against the guy.
I think most people in England are against the guy, and I think that you would be very.
Most people are against him. That's a ridiculous statement.
Because I read the newspapers. Because I read opinions. Because I listen to polls.
The newspapers, like the newspapers over here.
Okay, because you're a fake news guy, I take it. Bob, I hate to break it to you, but they don't like, you know very well they don't like him. You know it's the truth.
Now, given a choice, right? If the Brits had to look at a picture of King Henry VIII or Cromwell or Donald Trump, which one would they take the paint to?
Oh, God, that's a great... I don't think it would be Henry VIII, and I definitely don't think it would be Cromwell. I'm going to go for Trump.
See, Trump should say when he was on Air Force One, flying to London, either Gatwick or What's the other one?
Heathrow.
Effort. Heathrow, right. Is that he watched the new Churchill movie. What's the name of that?
Churchill, isn't it?
Darkest Hour. You could say that was in preparation for his landing
again. He has to go over there. He can charm them. He can turn things around, despite what Bob thinks. He can turn things around.
Remember Churchill's mother was from Brooklyn, New York? Which makes him American. Yeah,
that's
Carol
right.
Carol Gardens.
Oh, man, that's right.
Although, where did he develop becoming a lush? Was it from his father's side or his mother's
Churchill?
Side? Yeah, he was a lush.
Oh, he had to deal. Look at it. He had to deal with, you know, with young queens who are going in there. He had to deal with a whole big turnover abdication. I mean,
it's crazy. He created the first concentration camps in South Africa, and he put the Dutch Reform, the Boers, in it. First concentration camps created by Churchill.
Oh, I'm getting people riled up today. I'm sorry. But, you know, we all have our opinions.
Do you have certain opinions? Since you are the number one sycophantodian lackey of the royal family.
Admittedly.
Has Prince Harry or Meghan Markle extended an invitation to you?
Not yet.
To the royal wedding?
Not yet. But I'm definitely hoping. I'm crossing my fingers. I feel like it's possible.
Do you ever think of living across the pond?
I think some people would want to send me across the pond immediately.
I mean,
perhaps on a boat that wasn't quite sturdy.
Maybe we start with Northern Ireland for you, Derry. Maybe we start in Cardiff and Wales. Hey, a horrible place to be. Or Scotland.
I like it here in the studio.
Really?
Yeah.
Go to the UK.